First, I'd like to say thanks for those who came or invited tonight. It's sure good to see each one of you here. If I start calling names, I might get in trouble, but I thank you so much for coming. For honoring my invitation, I say thank you. Tonight, we'd like to look at God's Word, the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel, chapter 1. Well-known story, and what Brother Mark was saying at the end is in the light of what I want to say tonight about staying true to the Lord Jesus. How easy we could deny Him. And many times we do it and don't realize we are doing it, just like Peter did. But I want to look at Daniel tonight, who stood firm no matter the cost. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with a part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels unto the treasury house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding in science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Ananiah of Shadrach, and Mishael, Meshach, and of Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel, listen, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I'm sure God will let a blessing to the reading of his precious word. You know, as they were singing tonight, I said we could go home right now without saying anything else and have received a great blessing. You have to give Brother Russ credit for the songs that he picks out, the music. He could pick out something that would really not fit into the meeting. And you have to give the young people credit for being willing to sing it for the Lord. We're going to be dwelling a little bit on that light tonight. If I was to take a text tonight for the message, it would be Psalm 37, verse 5. And you'll see this all through the message. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's exactly what Daniel did. What that verse is saying is this: to cast ourselves and our lives unreservedly to God, placing our lives in his hand. And if we do that, we'll not find ourselves like Brother Mark was saying, like Peter, denying him. We're going to dwell a little bit on that later on in the message. You'll say, well, Brother Freddie, that's all right for you. You know, you're getting on in years now. I feel it too. But just remember, Daniel was a teenager when he was taken captive from his own town in Israel and carried away. A teenager. And Daniel, this is the thing that got me. Daniel lived there in Babylon over 60 years. And you know what? He faced many challenges. But his commitment to God grew stronger every single day. Now that's a challenge to me tonight. I look at my life 45 years ago, I trusted Christ. And I had to say, Freddie, is your life committed stronger than it was 45 years ago? Then I asked myself another question. Freddie, are you more committed today than you were a year ago? Then I had to ask myself again, Freddie, are you more committed today than you were yesterday? It's a challenge for each and every one of us tonight. Are we more committed to serve Him and to live for Him? It's going to cost. And we're going to see that as we look into the message. It costs to serve Christ. Daniel's name means, God is my judge. And if we were to keep that in mind, we would live different lives. That God is looking down upon everything we say or do or even think. And you know, in light of that, caused Daniel, I think, to live a closer life to God. God is my judge. His friends all had godly names. Ananias meant God is gracious. And He's gracious to everyone in here tonight, isn't He? To give us health and strength to be here tonight. And to be able to enjoy the music. And to listen at His word. God is gracious. Mishael, God is without equal. And they realized that God is the only God. No one could be compared with Him. And Azariah, the Lord is my helper. And every one of us have proved that down the years who know Him as Savior. The time we have left tonight, we want to look at their condition, what they found themselves in. Then we want to look at their description of their life. And then at their resolution. The resolution they made to stand for God. First, their condition. It was during the fall of Jerusalem. But they found themselves in a city of privilege. Jerusalem, because it contained the temple. It contained God's word. It was where the glory of the Lord dwelt. It was where the prophets of God were. They were privileged. And let me tell you, privilege brings responsibility. And how about us? As I thought of that, I said, of all the places in the world today, this little island of Spanish Wells is more privileged in hearing God's word from the best of God's servants than any other place in the world. Let me tell you, it brings responsibility. If you had to go out of this life into eternity without Christ, greater would be your punishment than those who have never heard it the way you've heard it. And those of us who know Him, greater our responsibility to live for Him. Because God often will come in judgment, as He did with Judah. They failed to honor. They were taken into captivity. God came in judgment. And often God comes in judgment to those He's spoken to time and time again about their soul and where they could spend eternity. And they're taken out suddenly into eternity without a chance. And oftentimes God might speak to those of us who are Christians and not living for Him and might take us out. Beware. Let's live for Him, no matter the cost. But they were captives in a land of Babylon, away from home, in a strange land, strange people, strange gods. And there's the true test of character. They had the ability to stand alone. How about you? If You or I were taken to a strange land. Strange people. Strange gods. How would we stand? Young people, middle-aged and old people, let me tell you, oftentimes we are in a strange land. Oftentimes we are with strange people, those who don't know God. And those who are serving Satan, strange gods, how do we stand? How do we stand when we get in that kind of situation? I trust we stand up for him. Secondly, let's look at the description. Verse 3 and 4. It's a picture of the ideal Christian. We want to look at their physical condition. It says they were well favored. Children in whom was no blemish. You say, Freddie, you're trying to tell me I can't do what I like with my body? No, what you do with your body is important. Paul says this. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? And listen to what he says. And ye are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. How could one ever think of taking a body in which the Holy Spirit dwells and use it for evil purposes? I'd be careful of doing that. God might come in, as I said, in judgment. Because you have been bought with a price. Not just a down payment. Now, talking to some friends just this week, said we put down a deposit on a piece of land. It's not ours yet. Until we pay it in full. But let me tell you, the price has been paid in full. All you have to do is receive it tonight if you don't know him as your Savior. It's done paid for. It's a matter of you being willing to accept it. Their physical condition without blemish. No spot. They were handsome men. Let's look at their mental condition. Skillful in wisdom, verse 4. Cunning in knowledge, understanding, and science. Let me say this. They had a healthy mind. Be careful, young people especially, what we take into our mind. Oh, that we would all have a mind of Christ. Say, Freddie, what kind of mind did he really have? Let me tell you. You go to Philippians 2. It will tell you what kind of mind he has. Let me just use four S's where you could remember it. He had a selfless mind. What do you mean, Freddie, by he had a selfless mind? Friends, he left heaven. Everything was his and came right to where you and I were in our sin and took our sin that we might be free. He thought of others. He thought of me and you. He could have stayed in glory and never come. And all of us would have been in hell. But he had a selfless mind. Oh, to God that would have a mind like that to tell others about his great love. To share what God has done for us. Young people, don't be afraid to share it. What God has done. And he had a servant's mind. That same verses tell us that. Everywhere he went, he did good. He opened the deaf ear. He opened the eyes of the blind. He touched the lame. He made the dead to come alive. Our servants might always do it. Oh, to God that we would be like that. Always serving and telling others. But the greatest example is when he got down on his knees and washed those dirty disciples' feet. That's the kind of mind he had, a servant's mind, to serve. Even Judas, who he knew would betray him in just a few hours. But he had a submissive mind. He's in the garden as we were tonight. And he says, Father, not my will, but your will. Oh, to wish to God that all of us would have that mind. Lord, not my will, but your will. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go, Lord. And he had a sacrificial mind. A mind that would cause him to go to that cross and take my sin. As Nita said, how could you say no to such a friend? Who would go one who was spotless and go there and be made sin for me and for you? What love. How could you say no to such one like that? If you never trusted him, I trust that you would do so tonight. But then look at his spiritual condition. He would not defile himself with the king's meat. Willing to take a stand. First, his motto was, God first. Oh, friends, young people, I trust that will be our motto. God first. Other things come later. Look at their resolution. Finally, purposed in his heart. Purposed in his heart. The motive of it was to bring God honor. That's the right why they made that resolution. We will not eat it. We will not do what's wrong. We will honor God. Young people, when you look at what he's done for me and you, what could we do less for him? What could we do less for him? God first. The strength of it, the motive of it, was to honor him. The strength of it was purpose of heart. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. His heart was fixed in God. Keep thine heart pure with all diligence, the scripture says. Romans 12 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that means heart, mouth, lips, eyes, feet, every piece of us. Say, Freddie, why? Why? Because as a man thinks, so is he. So is he. Looked at the motive of that resolution and the strength of it. But, this is where I wanted to dwell for a couple minutes and we'll soon be finished. The cost of it was self-denial. Pulse, vegetables, and water while the others ate the king's meat and drank his wine. They was willing to make a sacrifice. Titus 2:11 says this, the grace of God which bringeth salvation as appeared unto all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Oh, Freddie, you say, why should I live like that? Why put such demand upon me? The grace of God. When we think of the grace of God and what he did, it demands obedience and submission. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. How rich he was in glory. And how poor he became as he took our sin. That humbles me tonight. And how rich you and I are. Heirs of God. Sons of God tonight. Because of his great love. Beloved, Christian young people, doesn't that want you to be more faithful and committed to him? I pray God it will. All of us will be different. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Refuse his own claims. Take up his cross and follow me. As I close, we looked at the motive of it. We looked at the strength of it. We looked at the cost of it, denying us so. But the reward of it, God hunted them for their bold stand. He will be no man's debtor. No one will ever lose who puts God first. No one. I had illustrations to go to Noah. We will have time. And Abraham and Joseph and Moses. Moses says, when he had come to years, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God and to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses made a choice than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made a choice. He would rather, you see, Moses must have been crazy, next in line on the throne of Egypt. And he gives it up. He says, I'd rather give it up, suffer with God's people, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I close. The saying is, my friend, would you rather have the pleasures of sin for a season or enjoy its pleasures in its presence forevermore? Pleasures for a season or pleasures forevermore? The choice is yours. What will be your choice if you never accepted Christ? I trust you'll make the right choice and trust Him as your Savior. If you know Him, I trust instead of the pleasures of sin for a season, you'll be wise and take the pleasures forevermore in heaven. May God help you to do that for His name's sake. We're going to sing that chorus, Let the Lord Have His Way, number 81 in the chorus book. I wondered what I could close with tonight. And as I was coming out in the car, and I was just all of a sudden, I started to that tune, Let the Lord Have His Way. And I knew then that the Lord wanted me to speak the message tonight. After which, Brother Roddy is going to close the meeting in prayer for us. Number 81 in the chorus book, Let the Lord Have His Way. In your life, every day, there's no peace. There's no rest till the Lord has His way. May God help us to let Him have His way in our life every moment of every day.